the full spectrum. It's the full spectrum. We've got news. Entertainment.
Interviews.
And so much more. It's the full spectrum.
On today's show, tens of thousands of low-income Mississippi children wait to hear if they will have health insurance. We'll discuss the impact of Congress letting the Children's Health Insurance Program expire. Welcome to the Full Spectrum for Monday, October 16th. I'm your host, Dwayne Doty. As you know, Congress recently let the Children's Health Insurance Program expire. The CHIP program insures children who come from low-income families but who are not eligible for Medicaid. Now, lawmakers are scrambling to renew the program. Joining us now to talk about the impact this move could have on institutions here in Mississippi is the Chief Operating Officer of the Mississippi Primary Healthcare Association, Jaron Raven. Welcome to you, Jaron.
Thank you, Dwayne, for having me. I appreciate it.
Talk to me, first of all, about your reaction when you heard that it was on October 1st that due to who knows what, I hear they were busy doing other things, and it expired. So what would the impact, as far as you know, be on institutions like Mississippi Healthcare?
Absolutely. Drastic. We serve a great number of kids. And the difference between CHIP and other healthcare programs, or really coverage, I should say, is that CHIP really signifies, enables, and makes sure that the next generation of kids are healthy in this state. And so when you look at some of the challenges that Mississippi has in terms of health outcomes, the best way to prevent those going forward is to make sure that the younger generation is healthier. And the CHIP program ensures that.
And it's still not clear what's going to happen with the program. Senator Orrin Hatch moved earlier this year. He tried to put through legislation that would renew the program for another 5 years, and he was one of the people who sponsored the original bill along with Senator Kennedy. Mm-hmm. So there does seem to still be some bipartisan support. I think 31 states and the District of Columbia would run out of federal dollars for the program by March of next year. And I hear it could be even sooner here in Mississippi.
Yeah, absolutely. So no doubt if Congress doesn't act and soon, the state of Mississippi will likely run out of funds for CHIP in the first quarter of this coming year. And you're right. The program CHIP has always been a bipartisan program from its inception. Ted Kennedy and Orrin Hatch is a Republican senator from Utah. And Ted Kennedy, the late Ted Kennedy, being from Massachusetts, both Democrat and Republican, thought that it was necessary and needed to provide health care for children who, really fit in that working poor category and class of folks who work every day but still really are having trouble making ends meet. So, we're up against a pretty tough scenario, and we're hoping that Congress will reauthorize these funds. And so, we can get the CHIP program back going.
Talk to me about tell me about your clinics. I think you guys run how many, dozens, right, in the state?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's an interesting organization. So the Mississippi Primary Healthcare Association is a trade organization. We're a member organization for community health centers that are federally qualified. That means they have a federal designation. And there's 20 distinct nonprofits in the state of Mississippi that represent community health centers, or that are community health centers, that also serve. They have 190 sites in the state of Mississippi. And so we are in 70 out of 82 counties. We have 192 sites as of maybe 2 months ago. We just added two more. And so we really are all over the state and hoping to continue to expand. And what we really specialize in is providing health care to anybody who walks in the door. That's a federal law, federal mandate. Anybody who walks in our doors, whether you have insurance, whether you don't have insurance, whether you have no money, frankly, We will find a way to make sure that you receive the medical need and the healthcare needs that you, the healthcare services that you need.
Given that you're so tied to federal dollars, and given that I believe I read that 100% of the CHIP dollars in Mississippi come from the federal government, none of it's from the state. How could that affect? Tell me, now you say that you guarantee service, but if someone came in, a child who had been dependent on CHIP dollars, what would happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the interesting and unique thing about community health is we have this payment structure called a sliding fee scale. And essentially what that does, it means that for someone who walks in and says, listen, I don't have Blue Cross Blue Shield, I don't have Medicaid, I don't have Medicare, I don't have CHIP, all I have is what's in my pocket, and that's not much. We take down as much information as you're willing to give us, income information, sources of income, and we base your health care, your cost for the healthcare services that we provide on a sliding fee scale. Since to answer your question, what happens is for children who are on CHIP who no longer have that option, they would come in and be under the same program. The challenge, though, Dwayne, to be honest with you, is that CHIP offers all of these services for free. Immunizations, you know, well child visits, all these things for free.
Mental health as well,
absolutely. So we wouldn't be limited in what we can provide for them, but we certainly don't want mom to say, well, I don't have the out-of-pocket cost today to do a sliding fee scale. I don't have the out-of-pocket, even though it's minimal, I don't have the out-of-pocket cost, so I'm just not going to take him. That's what we don't want. That's what we're trying to avoid. That's what we're trying to make sure that CHIP continues to go on so we can continue to raise healthy Mississippians.
Where do you guys get the funding to do what you do?
Great question. So funny enough, we're also facing a cliff. The kind of lexicon or term for cliff really refers to a abrupt stop in funding. And so we get most of our funds from federal dollars as well. The federal the health center fund is 70% funded by Congress. And so they actually let our funds expire the same at September 30th at the same time that they let CHIP expire. And so we're competing for those dollars as well, or I shouldn't say competing, we're asking for those dollars as well. And we're asking Congress to act. And so it would be a 70% reduction in funding, which would likely mean many of our health centers in the state of Mississippi would have to close their doors.
For your total funding?
Yes, sir.
And does all of your funding come from the federal government as well?
No. So most of it does. I will be honest with that. Most of it does. I mean, I think, like I said, 70% of it comes from federal funding. We do have private donors that believe in health centers, that have, you know, philanthropic ties and want to spend their money to make sure the health centers are around and are serving Mississippians. And then the state legislator actually has been kind enough to appropriate funds for us to continue to serve patients for the last couple of years.
Which is critical, because when they turned down the Medicaid matching money that came with the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare, it really necessitated the need for more rural clinics, because a lot of hospitals, I mean, this has had an impact. And I'm really fascinated. We're going to have to take a break in a minute.
Sure.
About it feels like the perfect storm. Like there's all kind of stuff going on with health care, CHIP. I mean,
perfect way to describe it. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about that with Jaron Raven, who's the CEO of, help me out here,
COO.
Mississippi.
That's okay.
COO. The COO.
Mississippi Primary Healthcare Association.
You told me. See, you got inside my head.
That's Jaron. All good.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Nonpartisan analysis of public and private policies that affect the financial security of Mid-South families and communities. HOPE's work supports efforts to create an environment that ensures that all people, no matter where they live, have the opportunity to prosper. Together, we can improve the lives of people in our community. Together, there is hope. HOPEPolicy.org.
Breast cancer calls to mind self-exams and mammograms. But did you know the most fatal form of breast cancer does not have a lump?
No lump. Still cancer. You heard me right. No lump can still be cancer. Inflammatory breast cancer, IBC, does not
show up on a mammogram and often strikes women in their 30s.
So learn about IBC. Any sudden change in the breast is cause for a full and proper exam.
www.theibcnetwork.org or find them at the IBC Network Inflammatory Breast Cancer on Facebook.
Welcome back to the Full Spectrum on Cool and Current WJSU. I'm your host, Dwayne Doty, and we're talking with the Chief Operating Officer of the Mississippi Primary Healthcare Association, Jaron Raven. So getting back, Jaron, to this issue of a perfect storm, sure. What are you most concerned about since you get so many federal dollars? And the other question I want to, let's start there because I have another question for you
sure.
After that.
Yeah, that's an easy answer, Dwayne. Everything. I think, right now the potential ending of funding for CHIP, the potential ending of funding for the Health Center Fund, and then just recently the cut of Obamacare cost sharing reduction payments that just recently happened.
Explain what those are.
Yeah, so cost sharing reduction payments was a part of the Affordable Care Act, and what that essentially was a federal mandate that the federal government would help subsidize premiums in the healthcare federal marketplace for low-income enrollees. And so what that did is the Ambetter or in other parts of the country, they're called different. They have different names, but it's just,
and those payments go directly to the insurance companies, right?
That's correct. But what that allowed the insurance companies to do was to offer lower premiums because they knew they would be subsidized by the federal government. And so that just recently ended, although I've read just as of 10 minutes ago that they reached some sort of deal, bipartisan deal. But again, this stuff is very fluid and moves 100 miles an hour. So we're just paying attention and catching up to it. But to answer your question, I'm worried about all of it. Absolutely.
I'm curious, too. Have you ever lived through an era like this where because Congress, the House and the Senate are both controlled by Republicans, as is the White House, and yet most of the disagreement appears to be coming between the majority party and the White House.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a lot of it is friendly fire. It's interesting. But no, I haven't. And I'm relatively, as I hope, I'm still relatively young. But what's interesting to me is that the healthcare has really dominated the national debate for probably the past decade, possibly longer, but certainly for the past decade. And it's just really interesting. And for a while there, I thought that healthcare, if you believe that healthcare is a right in this country, and I believe that, and I think my organization believes that, if you believe that for a while there, I thought we were going in the right direction nationally. And now I have a little bit of doubts. So.
But it's really too soon to tell. And whether or not the majority of Congress believes that it's a right, I think they certainly don't want to have no safety net at all. And I think that the way this is unraveling is without any kind of forethought, it seems. And as you said, with the stopping of these payments, and which I don't think we've even felt the impact of yet. I mean, when the insurance companies really finally do react, it could be really, really ugly. And a lot of people, there are many people who do not have to take advantage of their health care. They can go along, maybe get an exam every year, maybe not even get an exam every year. We know everybody doesn't do that. Yeah. But there are families that are dependent on healthcare coverage, and this could be really, really catastrophic for them, including young children.
Yeah, absolutely. So with the cost sharing reduction, it's to your point, it's too soon to tell, but certainly it will make an impact. I'd like to not say that Congress is not giving this enough thought. I would like to think that whatever decisions that they make are very methodical and intentional. But certainly, it's hard to justify kicking 80,000 kids off CHIP in addition to making 80,000 patients at community health centers or forcing them to find other places to go seek health care, it doesn't make sense. And what typically happens in these type of scenarios is the state just ends up spending more money on unhealthy folks. And that's what we want to avoid.
Tell me how the landscape has changed in Mississippi in terms of healthcare. Compare, you know, a city like Jackson, where we know we have a lot of hospitals here, to a very rural area. And some of the factors we discussed, like the lack of fewer people getting on Medicaid and, you know, some rural hospitals closing. Tell me what it, because you're out there. You guys
sure.
have, you're all over the state. Tell me, or at least in, I think you said 70 counties. So tell me about what it looks like out there.
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, so the, I think the biggest challenge is, as you just stated, there are less people on Medicaid. There are less people on programs that help them, that really safety net programs that help them ensure that they have health access. And so what you're seeing is folks who just choose not to go seek care, and they end up utilizing the emergency room as their primary care, their place of, you know, their place of primary care. And we want to avoid that because that's a costly way to do healthcare. And what ends up happening is it increases the cost of care for everybody. And so I think our biggest challenge, and which is one of the reasons I'm privileged to be on your show today, is to really talk to folks about community health centers and what we are and what we do. One interesting note is that we have been around in the state of Mississippi for 50 years. Not only that, but the Mississippi had started, the origin of community health centers started in Mound Bayou, Mississippi in 1961. And so we literally started a national tradition. Now there's over, I think, 2,800 health centers in the state, in the world, in the country. And it's something that started here in Mississippi. So we don't want folks to use the ER for their primary care. We want folks to come there to community health centers.
Well, a couple things to respond to there.
Sure.
First of all, that people going to the emergency room is one of the major drivers of healthcare being so costly. And I remember, and he was kind of laughed away from the idea, but Arnold Schwarzenegger, when he was governor of California, even toyed with giving even undocumented citizens health insurance, because he said in the long run it will be cheaper. This non-insurance and people using the emergency room is just doing, it's driving the whole healthcare, the cost structure wackadoodle.
Yeah, no.
That's why you're paying $200 for an aspirin. I mean, they have to make their cost back some way.
Absolutely, absolutely.
The other thing I wanted to ask you though is, and now I can't remember.
No, it's okay. So I wanted to piggyback on the point that you just made, though. So what you'll see in terms of your question about our landscape, I was just in North Mississippi, last week in a small town, Asheville, I think was the name of Asheville, Mississippi, and it's the northern part of Mississippi. But what you saw, there were folks coming. They come from Memphis, which is, it's a good 2.5-3 hours from Memphis. Or the surrounding areas of Memphis, but they come 3 hours just to make sure that they are utilizing a primary care facility and not the emergency room. And something to mention, there's this thing called DSH payments, and it's a disproportionate share payments. What that essentially does, it's also a federal funding, but what it essentially does is it pays hospitals for uncompensated care. It pays hospitals for them to take care of folks who just come in the emergency room. You're seeing a reduction in those payments right now. And so to your earlier point about a perfect storm, there's so much going on right now in healthcare, and all of it, unfortunately, lends itself to people having less access to care.
That's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. And so what we really need to do is educate folks about where they can go. The emergency room is not the place to seek primary care. That is a place where you go in, they fix you up, and you go out. If you have a chronic condition, that's not the place to seek that care. We'd much rather you visit a community health center.
Why do you think more people are not aware of community clinics? Because I think some people think that their alternative or their choice is, I either go to an emergency room or I don't do anything. I don't think a lot of people know about these healthcare clinics and especially the sliding fee. And as you say, you guys have been around for 50 years. Why don't more people know? But, Jared, you are going to have to wait to give your answer until after the break.
Sounds good.
Stick around. We'll be right back.
The
development organizations dedicated to strengthening communities, building assets, and improving lives in the Delta and other economically distressed parts of Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Tennessee. Together, we can improve the lives of people in our community. Learn more about HOPE's work to create opportunity where it is needed most. hope-ec.org.
Hey, I'm Jazz Keyboardist Marcus Johnson. Saturdays from 5 to 7 p.m., join me for Catch the Flow. Each week, I present a cosmopolitan mix of chill, lounge, Brazilian, and jazz. You can travel this lifestyle journey in great music where I share personal experiences in the jazz world and just what I do. Catch jazz, catch Latin, and catch soul. You can catch the flow with me, Marcus Johnson, on 88.5.
Welcome back to the Full Spectrum on Cool and Current WJSU. I'm your host, Dwayne Doty, and we're speaking with the COO of the Mississippi Primary Healthcare Association, Jaron Raven. Hey, CEO, COO. They're close, Jaron.
They're very close, but I want to make sure if my boss is listening, I don't get talked about when I get back to the office.
He'll blame me. Don't worry. So I was asking you, why do you think more people are not aware of community healthcare centers?
No, that's a great question, Wayne. And I'll be honest with you. The first is I'll acknowledge that we have more work to do. We certainly have more work to do in educating folks. But I do think that our resources and federal dollars are just spent in a very different way. I mean, we really focus those dollars on making sure we're providing care to folks. And I think to some degree, our marketing probably takes a little bit of a hit as a consequence of that. The other part of it is we really are 20 distinct nonprofits and all over the state. And so it's really hard to market us as a network of health centers because we really have a very kind of regionalized market and regionalized patient base.
So are each of those 20 separate entities marketing for themselves, or is there joint marketing?
No, there typically is not. They market for themselves. Really, the Primary Care Association, the member organization that I work for, we try our best to make sure folks are educated and know about community health centers because we consider ourselves the we really, our whole purpose is to serve them, and we don't care where you go as long as you go to a community health center. So it's our job, and we need to do a better job of it, but we're working on it.
You know, we've talked about what's going on, and I said something to you earlier about Orrin Hatch having reintroduced a new piece of legislation. I think it's called, I'll find that for Kids Act of 2017.
Uh-huh, the Kids Act.
To kind of renew CHIP and to make sure that these low-income children have insurance. The fact that there is even a flame there, you know, do you think, does that make you hopeful in some ways? Because it really is hard to tell, as you said, which way this train is going to turn as it's moving down this track.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Dwayne. I'm worried. You know, I'm very worried. But I do think that both the Health Center Fund and CHIP will be reauthorized and reappropriated. I am not quite sure why it is taking this long to get there. I think my concern is that both of these initiatives create a lot of instability in the healthcare marketplace by not funding them. And so I will tell you, there's a state statute, I believe, that it forces the Department of Health to send out notices to CHIP enrollees 60 days if they intend 60 days prior if they intend to cancel their healthcare benefits, and so if they don't act soon, those notices are going to go out. And so what I don't want is for mom to get that notice and say, okay, I don't know what we're going to do, right? Because she may not watch CNN every day, or she may not listen to this show every day. She may not listen to, you know, we don't know where she's going to.
A lot of people probably don't.
Yeah, and so what we don't want her to do is, you know, utilize ER or some other form of place for healthcare services. So I'm hopeful. I do think that they will figure something out. And I do think part of it is, frankly, Dwayne, is that I think we're competing with everything going on in the world. You have to remember there's been many hurricanes. There's been there's all types of things that Congress is spending money on or wants to spend money on at the moment. And so healthcare, I think, is just it hasn't been a priority in the way that it should be in terms of making sure people have access.
And unfortunately, you're also competing with an ideology among many people that people who want free or low cost healthcare are freeloaders, and that is really we're living in strange times. Let me put it to you that way. But I want to ask you, we've got about 3 minutes left. If you could design this, you know, there are many great minds, Jaron, in Washington working on this now. And if you could design the we know there's, and it runs the gamut. It runs everything from a single payer where the government would pick up like Medicare for all is what I've heard.
Sure.
And then, all the way up to different kind of insurance markets. Where do you think we're headed? Where would you like to see us head, first of all?
That's a great question. I'm going to dodge it, and I'll tell you how I'm going to answer.
No fair, Jim.
No. You know, what I really would like to see is just let's do this. Let's act as soon as possible to reauthorize funds for community health centers. And let's also act at the same time simultaneously to reauthorize funds for CHIP. And I really mean this. If there's any way to make sure Mississippians are healthier, and we don't continue to talk about Mississippi in an unhealthy way, We have to make sure that we reauthorize those two programs.
Yeah, you may dodge it though, and I'm being serious here. But your future existence as an organization may require more lobbying from the joint, the sum of you guys, because
Absolutely. It's
unclear where this is headed. And but it is clear that there's going to be a need for healthcare at the community level.
Yeah, absolutely.
If for no other reason, it's just like, you know, some people can't get to a grocery store like food deserts. There are now hospital deserts.
Absolutely, absolutely.
In the state.
Well, actually, there's a federal designation there. They're called medical shortage areas. And interestingly enough, health centers are federally mandated to be within a medical shortage area. So there's no accident to why we're located where we're located. We're located in places where people don't have access.
Okay, you've taught me something today. So hence the federal funding for organizations like you, because they have to have something there. I don't understand them why they don't get the word out more about that, because I think it could help the system a lot. I'm not saying it's a cure-all.
Sure.
No pun intended. But I am saying that if you could take some of the burden off of the hospitals and people going to emergency rooms, which is inefficient treatment anyway for people who aren't gravely ill, it could at least buy some time.
Yeah, it almost sounds too much like right, but you are right on point there. An increase in funding would help us continue to market and make sure we educate people about where we are and who we are.
Well, Jaron Raven, the COO,
yes sir, thank you,
of the Mississippi Primary Healthcare Association, I really, really appreciate you coming on today, and told you it would go.
Yeah, it did go by fast. I'd like to come back one of these days, but I certainly appreciate the time with you, sir. Appreciate you.
You are welcome back anytime you'd like to come.
Thank you.
That's our show for today. Don't forget to catch Metro Morning Live with Rob J tomorrow at 7 and again at 10 on Metro Morning Live, Comcast Channel 14. Don't forget, we'll be back tomorrow at 4 with more of the Full Spectrum on FM 88.5 or online, WJSU.org. Up next, Latin Jazz with your host, Dale Morris.